Welcome to this podcast from the Medical Journal of Australia. My name is Sam Hunt, the MJA's news and online editor. Today we are discussing the importance of Australia's National Bowel Cancer Screening Program. It follows the publication of a recent review which shed some doubt on such programs. My two guests have written extensively about bowel cancer and join me now. Professor Mark Jenkins is the head of the Colorectal Cancer Unit at the School of Population and Global Health at the University of Melbourne. And Associate Professor Belinda Goodwin is the Senior Manager of the Health Systems and Behavioural Research Program at Cancer Council Queensland. Professor Jenkins and Associate Professor Goodwin, thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for having us.
Before we start discussing bowel cancer as a topic, I'm interested in both your backgrounds. Why are you both so passionate about this topic?
So I've been working in bowel cancer research for 20 years now, and previously what I was looking at was trying to identify the causes of bowel cancer. I thought that was really interesting and something worth looking at. But more recently, I've switched tacks a bit into the cancer prevention area because I think that's where we can make a real difference. And when I found out and did some research into the bowel cancer screening program we had, it was pretty clear that we have an excellent program here in terms of the test itself. And we have this program that makes it free for everyone aged 50 to 74. So I thought this was a chance to make a different impact in terms of public health and a real opportunity to try and increase that low participation rate to something better.
I just have a real interest in understanding people's behaviour and figuring out ways to try and change it for the better. I've got a background in psychology and health psychology. I did a PhD about the reasons why people overconsume unhealthy things in their life. And this is sort of just a continuation of that, of understanding why people don't take advantage of this excellent program that we have that saves lives, and what the psychological and behavioral barriers are, and working with consumers to find out how we can address them. That's really exciting to me.
And let's turn now to bowel cancer in Australia. Professor Mark Jenkins, can you set the scene for us? How prevalent is this condition, and why is it often caught in its later stages?
Every year, there's about 15,000 people diagnosed with bowel cancer. Sometimes this bowel cancer means cancer of the colon or cancer of the rectum, or sometimes it's referred to as colorectal cancer. If these are detected by screening, that is testing people who have no symptoms, they're usually in stages one or two, and that's before the cancer is spread to other organs or is large enough to block the bowel. And at these early stages, survival is very high. It's around 90%. However, if the cancers are detected because of symptoms, they're much more likely to be later stage disease, stage three or four. The survival there is less than 70% over 5 years. But the problem with waiting for symptoms is that the symptoms are often very vague. For example, unexplained weight loss, constipation, change in bowel habits, fatigue. So you can't really use symptoms as a very sensitive measure for determining who has early onset cancer. And that's why screening is so important.
And Professor Jenkins, there's also been an increase in younger people being diagnosed in Australia.
Yes, tragically that's so. The incidence of colorectal cancer is increasing for people under age 50. These are people who are currently not in the bowel cancer screening program. For example, over the last 20 years, it's increased 30% in 40 to 49-year-olds. It's doubled for 30 to 39-year-olds, and it's tripled for 20 to 29-year-olds. Those rates, even though they're rapidly increasing, are still lower than 50-year-olds because it's coming off a lower base. But this increase is happening worldwide. It's not just happening in Australia. And we don't know what the cause is. So some investigation's been done on that, but no one knows why. Some of the theories include an increase in obesity for these age groups. But other theories have been looking at whether it's changes to the gut microbiome that might be introducing some change in risk, so change in diet, etc.
And Associate Professor Belinda Goodwin, I'll bring you in. You're at Cancer Council Queensland. How important is the National Bowel Cancer Screening Program for early detection?
The early symptoms of bowel cancer are incredibly hard to detect. Often there are no symptoms at all, or they're vague, or they mimic symptoms for less serious conditions. So what the screening test does is it detects hidden traces of blood in the stool that are not detectable by the human eye. And this means that the very, very early signs of bowel cancer can be detected and treated. In fact, the test will pick up bleeding from benign polyps, which can be removed during a colonoscopy, which will actually prevent cancer from developing in the first place. So yes, the test is a incredibly useful tool for preventing morbidity and mortality from bowel cancer. The research shows that people whose bowel cancers are detected through the National Bowel Cancer Screening Program have far better outcomes, including earlier disease detection and significantly higher survival rates. In fact, it's been estimated that the program saves about 50 Australian lives each week. So we're really very fortunate in Australia to have this ability to test the population systematically using a high quality and sensitive screening test. Unfortunately, the potential effectiveness of the program is hampered by the low participation rates. So currently only 41% of recipients return their kit. And to give you some idea of the impact of this, it's estimated that if the rates could be increased to just 60% over the next 20 years, we could save 80,000 lives.
And are we unique in the world for having such a program, or do countries with comparable health systems have similar screening programs?
Yeah, so many other countries around the world conduct similar population bowel cancer screening programs, for example, England, Scotland, Denmark, and the Netherlands, just to name a few. And these are, of course, slightly different in, say, who and how they invite people to participate. But they essentially function in the same way, whereby screening kits are delivered at regular intervals to all eligible people in a specified age group, and then they're posted back to a lab for testing. One of, I suppose, the interesting differences is that in many international settings, the kit distributed to recipients only requires one stool sample from one bowel movement, whereas in Australia, the kit that we distribute requires two samples from two different bowel movements. Now, whether the two things are related or not, it's not known, but participation in bowel cancer screening programs in some of those countries that I've just mentioned that use the one sample test is actually much higher in Australia, in some cases well above 60%. In fact, most cases well above 60%.
And Professor Jenkins, what would you like to add?
We're very keen to learn from other programs internationally, especially the ones that are doing very well. And one of the other advantages of some of those programs that Belinda spoke about was that they have research programs that are actually embedded in the screening program. Because of that, they can optimize their screening to maximize participation. So, for example, they've been able to compare different reminder messages in a randomized control setting to test which one of the reminder messages results in the highest screening rates, like a randomized trial. But in contrast, the Australian Bowel Cancer Screening Program has not been funded or even set up to do this type of research. It's just to run the registry as it is. Instead of having one embedded in the program, what we've been trying to do in the Bowel Cancer Screening Alliance, which Belinda and I are part of, is trying to bridge that research gap by doing the research in academic and cancer service settings, and then work with the program to design research trials to try and test some of these changes to the program that might increase screening participation.
And let's turn now to some conjecture raised recently about DIY kits. Recently, there was a review published in JAMA Internal Medicine by the University of Oslo called Estimated Lifetime Gained with Cancer Screening Tests, a Meta-Analysis of Randomized Clinical Trials. And it concluded that bowel cancer screening using a home test kit might have little effect in saving or extending people's lives. Professor Jenkins, can you briefly take me through what was said and your response to it?
So this article was published in a very prestigious medical journal and gained a lot of publicity in the media and reported that the home test kit didn't reduce all-cause mortality. Now, this study was done by looking at all the published randomized controlled trials of bowel cancer screening using the home test kit and concluded that there was no evidence that it reduced overmortality. In other words, what they were saying was that when you look at all causes of death combined, the differences made by screening only for colorectal cancer couldn't be detected. Now, this doesn't mean, though, that the bowel cancer screening kit doesn't prevent deaths. In fact, we know it does prevent deaths, and these are bowel cancer deaths. And randomized controlled trials have shown this. We know that this is true. The home test kit, and this is the older version, which was last tested in a randomized controlled trial, the older version of the kit, which is less sensitive and less specific than the current kit, reduces deaths from bowel cancer by 23% over a 10-year period from people undergoing screening. So we know it does reduce deaths.
And Associate Professor Goodwin, what would you like to add?
I think it's probably important to clarify that we're not necessarily refuting the claims in the article. Rather, we don't believe that the findings are particularly relevant for drawing conclusions about the efficacy of population bowel cancer screening programs. So my view is that the authors were just asking the wrong question. They were asking, does bowel cancer screening prevent you from dying from anything? And that includes being hit by a bus or heart disease. And the answer is, of course, it doesn't. The more relevant question is, does bowel cancer screening prevent people from getting bowel cancer and increase their chances of surviving it if they do get it? And the answer to that has already been shown, to be an equivocal yes, as demonstrated by the randomized trials. I think the danger is really in the media's interpretation of findings like these and news articles that can be published in popular media that might affect public confidence in the program. Thankfully, our research shows that consumers are highly aware of the benefits of bowel cancer screening, and generally, most people who don't return their kit simply struggle to remember to do it, or they don't get around to it. So a lot of what we do in the Bowel Cancer Screening Alliance is designing solutions to help people get over the line and remember to complete their kit or make it easier for them to do it. And what we don't want to see is a drop in those high intentions to screen that we already have because of media that's undermining the effectiveness of the program, because that'll make our jobs of increasing screening participation significantly more challenging.
And you've both mentioned that you're looking at ways to increase uptake of the screening program in Australia. What kind of things are you looking at?
There's not going to be any single solution that's going to make the participation rate high. We have to use a lot of different avenues, tacking it from different angles. We're looking at all the processes in the program to see what might be modified or changed to see if it results in increased participation. So, for example, we're looking at the letter people receive before they receive the kit. We're looking at the kit itself, the design, and we're looking at the reminder system. So we're looking at across the spectrum of different issues. But the design of those interventions is challenging. You know, how do you design the best possible intervention? And a lot of the work that Belinda's leading relates to behavior change research based on what's known before, but also based on what we understand about people's motivations to change.
And Associate Professor Goodwin, I'd like to zoom in on younger people, because an increasing number of younger people are getting this disease. The National Screening Program is geared to older people. What can be done about helping test the younger population?
Recently, the guidelines have been released to recommend that population screening is available to people 45 and up, based on those studies that Mark talked about earlier. They came out fairly recently, and the government's really still considering the implications of lowering the starting age and considering things like the costs and the logistics and the flow-on effects for the broader health system, considering that there'd be more colonoscopies to do and that sort of thing. In the meantime, they're recommending that people who are aged between 45 and 59 should speak to their doctor if they have concerns, and GPs can offer bowel cancer screening with a Medicare-funded kit. And they've also got the option of purchasing a private screening kit through pharmacies or online. That's the current advice that the government's giving around that lower age group.
Professor Mark Jenkins and Associate Professor Belinda Goodwin, thank you both so much for joining me today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My special guests have been Professor Mark Jenkins and Associate Professor Belinda Goodwin. Professor Mark Jenkins is the head of the Colorectal Cancer Unit at the School of Population and Global Health at the University of Melbourne. And Associate Professor Belinda Goodwin is the Senior Manager of the Health Systems and Behavioural Research Program at Cancer Council Queensland. You can read their recent article published in Insight Plus, by clicking the link in the description of this podcast. You can find more podcasts on our website at mja.com.au or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.